You know, I was going to start out by saying the airline industry is volatile today. But there are a few days when the airline industry isn't volatile. But maybe it's volatile in different ways. We just saw Southwest Airlines announce forced layoffs. I mean, they've had people, you know, voluntarily, you know, take a leave of absence for a while. But Elliott Management has really been out there, you know, trying to change things. We've got big mergers that are trying to take place between Frontier and Sprint. We've got a real controversy about how much money's being spent on the airline system. One man who knows airlines just backwards and forwards, we know recently as the author of Flying for Peanuts, Tough Deals, Steep Bargains, and Revolution of the Skies. But Frank Lorenzo, we also know as the man who took Trans-Texas Airlines, Treetop Airlines, turned it into Texas International, and ran Continental Airlines and Eastern Airlines. And Frank Lorenzo joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. Very nice. Very nice to be with you.
So,
and there's certainly a lot going on.
There really is. So let me go back to the Southwest thing. So you had a hostile takeover, a successful hostile takeover of Continental Airlines, and really turned around a struggling air carrier. Elliott Management with Southwest Airlines didn't ever seem to seriously want to run that airline. They were just trying to shake them up. Is that different?
Oh, it's very different. It's very different. We did it as part of a very clear plan to try to change our structure because the structure was putting us out of business. Southwest is a profitable company, and the owners want to make it more profitable. And that's very different. Southwest has had a formula, a very successful formula for many years. And I'm not close to their recent results. I'm not close to the situation, but apparently there's a view that it can be improved. And that's what's going on right now. Although I was shocked myself when I saw the layoff announcement, because I've always assumed Southwest was, you know, reasonably efficient. And, you know, you can't lay off a pilot. You can't lay off. I mean, you can lay off a pilot, but you got to cut back your flying. Same thing with flight attendants. You know, same thing with maintenance. So it's not like airlines usually have a lot of excess people around, unless, by the way, it's government owned. Then you have a lot of people around.
Well, and of course, that was, you know, we've heard this argument on and off ever since Alfred Kahn and the Civil Aeronautics Board and deregulation, is that at some point the government's going to have to go back in and re-regulate the airline industry because, I mean, all, you know, at the end of the day, they just can't make money consistently.
No, at the end of the day, they can make money. In fact, it's just the opposite. If the government has been sticking their nose in, it was a favorite of the most recent administration. We had things like proposals to regulate the size of the distance between seats, things like that, without understanding that if you make changes in that, you're going to make changes in the fare structure. One of the favorite expressions of our past president was jump fees as a way of explaining the additional costs that airlines and other companies, not just airlines, put in order to balance off lower fares. You can't have one just without the other. But the Southwest situation is definitely unique, and it's very much on tune to Dallas. And by the way, speaking of Dallas, I was in Dallas this past weekend, and I was really struck by a couple of things. One was how convenient Love Field is and the advantage that the Southwest has there. But also, I was really struck. My granddaughter had a coming out party down at the Dallas Symphony Hall, and I was struck by how beautiful it was and how beautiful and develop the downtown area of Dallas is. It's great. You know, we live in Houston, so we don't get to Dallas, you know, all that much, except really to go out where our granddaughter and our daughter and her husband live. But anyway, I was really struck by Dallas. Great place.
It's interesting, like I say, to watch your industry. What, you know, the other thing that's come up recently, especially after that horrible mid-air collision of the helicopter, the American Airlines regional jet that was landing, is there, it calls into question again about the air traffic safety and the money that's being spent at it. I mean, going back to the days when you were running Continental and Eastern and everybody else, I mean, you always took in a lot of tax. And I paid a lot of tax on my tickets. And what I understand is that money was not redirected back into the airline industry, and air safety was, it was used for other things.
No, we spend money on a lot of things, but we need to spend money on more air traffic controllers, and we need to spend money on improving our system. There's just no way that we should have a system that isn't reliable and allowing one pilot to know exactly where the other plane is and be warned. There just needs to be much more money put into updating our system, because our system has been there for many, many years. And the airlines have brought this up. The airlines have complained about this, but it's always been mañana, and we'll put it off to tomorrow. Well, there's no putting it off. And we saw such a terrible example of it in the Potomac. But, you know, when you're talking about airline safety, I think you have to also look at this accident in Toronto just yesterday, where this plane flipped over, probably caused by a wind shear or maybe perhaps something on the landing gear. They'll figure it out. But, you know, you have to marvel at the fact that the miracle was getting 80 people out of that airplane virtually unhurt. 14 were taken to the hospital.
It's just astounding.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, evidently the seats stayed in place. They stayed buckled in the seats, and the integrity of the fuselage was there, so it didn't crash on them. That is very reassuring.
It's very reassuring, and it's really a tribute to the safety of our airline system. It doesn't get enough credit for it today, but the improvements that have been made in the design of airplanes and all the other factors. We do need more help. The air traffic control system is one thing that needs more help, as we talked about.
That seems like a lot of people point the fingers back to the Reagan administration and when the air traffic controllers, Petco, went on strike and he fired all of them. I've heard a suggestion that it hadn't been the same since.
Well, we were a long time from there, and you could have hired a lot, hired and trained, and probably moved on to the next generation in the 30 years, in the 40 years.
Yeah, probably 40 years.
40 years since President Reagan did what he had to do and fired the controllers. Because, you know, in fact, I think that particular incident was one of the most important reasons why Russia looked at Reagan and said, boy, we can't screw with this guy. And he means what he says. I really do. I've said that a number of times. I said it one time on CNBC, and they quoted it and ran it during his funeral ceremony, because it was such an example.
Yeah, no, it was a great example. So do me a favor, put your deal-making hat back on right now. And the most recent one I've seen is this sort of kabuki dance between Frontier Airlines and Spirit. I mean, Spirit's bankrupt. I mean, they're a reorganization, and Frontier's actually begun to make a little money. But in that low-cost or ultra-low-cost carrier area, these guys are trying to link up, and I'm surprised that there's still that you can still make money in that area.
Absolutely. There's a small one called Avelo that's started up right near you in Houston, and they're doing very nicely. Breeze, this other small one is also doing nicely. Everybody points to Spirit. Spirit has a history of problems. It's had a lot of debt, and, you know, working off the debt has been difficult. But they're very different. They don't, just because of the problems of Spirit, doesn't mean that all of the low-cost carriers are unattractive or unprofitable.
Or are we
So.
going back through a cycle again of where these guys start up again? Because, you know, Southwest Airlines used to be a low-cost carrier. They're really more mainstream than anything else right now. And there
Sure.
seems to be a real void in the in that area.
Well, you're seeing it in startups like Breeze. You see in startups like Avelo. There's others, Sun Country, that are getting more into a scheduled service, passenger service. So we are, the void is filling, but you'd be surprised. You know, the big guys don't leave a lot of holes.
Yeah.
And of course, the big guys, the big three, big four, have a tremendous ability to price markets differently depending on the competition.
Well, it's a fascinating industry. And also, I would remind folks, a great read, Flying for Peanuts, your book. I'm sure you've heard from a lot of airline industry veterans after reading that book.
Well, let me tell you something. The book is so relevant these days. I was just before this session, I read my chapter on Trump again, and the examples of how what we saw when he was in his 40s are what's going on now that he's in his 70s. It's really very vivid. I have one incident beginning on page 294, which mirrors the situation with Mexico and Canada, where Trump came to us. Well, in fact, Trump announced that he was going back and wanted to give up the deal. He wanted a lower price. And I was really annoyed.
Buying the Eastern shuttle, by the your shuttle.
What's that?
Buy give up the deal to buy the shuttle.
Oh, yeah, this is to give up the
Right.
deal to buy the shuttle from Eastern. And we had agreed on a, and he had signed on a $365 million deal, and he put out a press release out of the blue, just saying that he was backing off the deal. He thought it was now overpriced because of the strike that Eastern was going on, and we were really annoyed at that. Said that we were not prepared to change the price, but we stayed quiet too. We allowed time to go by. Trump tried to see me. He tried to get a hold of a. Wanted to have a meeting. And later that week, as the book really explains very nicely in this chapter on Trump, later that week, I agreed to have breakfast with him again. We had quite a few breakfasts. And this time I came armed with a proposal that our guys had figured out where we would give him some more of the old airplanes that we had, and they were actually out in the desert. There were some old 727s, but you know, one of the values of the shuttle was always to use these old, written-off airplanes that didn't have a great market, but you could fly them back and forth. And if you needed an extra plane, you had an extra plane. So we threw three more, proposed to Trump that he put three more in the deal. And he said, "Oh, okay, I'll accept that." So even though he had said he wanted to shave 125 million off the deal, he was willing to do that. And we shook hands and put out a release. And the release was a it said that Trump had, I mean, the implication was that he had beaten us up, and gotten a major change in the price of the deal. And you know,
And of
that's
course, about a year and a half later, the thing wasn't flying anymore.
well, and there were other reasons for that too. But anyway, I just pointed out that
Yeah.
the Trump chapter in my book just really speaks a lot about what's going on today.
It is a good read. I enjoyed it. Frank Lorenzo, veteran of the airline industry and now successful author. It's always good to spend some time with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.